Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to pick up in just a moment at verse 35. As we come together today to worship, we come with this in common. We have all wanted to be noticed. We have all wanted to be known by someone else. Every one of us lives with a deep, deep need to be known personally, to matter to someone else, to someone we think important. To what length will you go to be seen, to be known, to be noticed? The follower of Christ believes God is involved in and cares about their lives. And I want to say to you, that is the truth. We all want to be noticed. To what length will you go? We're going to read John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked. And he said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Behold, I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." To what length will you go? To what length will you go to find out who you are? Christ gives identity. Jesus tells you who you truly are. John has been preaching. John has been preparing the people for the coming Messiah. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, "This is the one." John has been preaching a message of repentance and preparation. Repentance in that anyone who lives only for themselves never knows, truly knows who they are. Because as long as we're just living for ourselves, we're blown about by the winds of our culture. We're blown about by the popularity of this, that, or the other. And so until there's this point of repentance, we never know who we truly are. But it's also preparation, because John knew from the Lord the Messiah was about to come on the scene. And so when Jesus walks up, John knows that he is the Messiah. And he calls him something. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. As we celebrate today what we know as Palm Sunday, it was the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem towards the cross. And they began, it was Passover week, and so all this week from the Sunday on as the first day of the week and until the end of the week when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, it was all about that. It was all about the preparation. It was all about getting ready for. And here Jesus is, and John calls him the Lamb of God. And I believe that they would have understood exactly what he meant. That John was making the connection between Jesus and the Passover, and that he was saying, this is the one that we have been waiting for. So John said, behold the Lamb of God. And two of John's disciples, two of his followers, begin following Jesus immediately. And one of them, Andrew, goes back and gets his brother Simon and tells him about him. And when Simon comes to Jesus, Jesus renames him. He gives him identity. He gives him identity. It was May 24th, 1942. It happened to be a Sunday. It was a normal day, as normal a day for a nation at war as the next, except it would be the last day. 70 families saw their loved ones. That day, the USS Grunion, a newly commissioned submarine, set sail never to return again. All summer, the families waited for word of the ship's fate. Finally, in September of that year, word did come. Missing following action in the performance of duty and in the service of country. But the families wanted to know what had happened. What had happened to our husbands and fathers? What had happened to our sons? What had happened to these people? After the disappearance of the Grunion, times were hard for the families. When a death benefit arrived for one wife, she sent it back. If she had cashed it, she would have bought into the contract, the deal that her husband had died. And she never bought into that deal. Many of the families did not. Nancy Stark's mom didn't. The mystery of what happened to the ship and its crew gnawed at the families, particularly Nancy Stark. This is what she said, "I never knew my father. If you don't know your dad, then who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Do you know who you are?" So much of what we think about in terms of identity today is something other than what it is. We talk about sexual identity in our culture, and it's not something that we want it to be, it is something that is. And so we need to come to understand identity. Each of us struggles to some degree to find ourselves, to really know ourselves. And the names that we are called shape who we believe that we are. Some live lives of such facades, they never find who they really are. They never find who they really are. Some live as virtual orphans, always wondering, who am I? Who am I? It's no wonder relationships are so difficult. So come to Jesus this day and let him show you who you really are. Let him show you the hurts, the pains, the sin that is in your life. Then let him give you a new identity. Let him call you a child of the King. Let him adopt you into his family. This week was hiker breakfast. And between the time change and hiker breakfast, I have been tired all week long. And it's like 30 minutes is not that big a deal. I had turned the alarm down so low on Wednesday morning that it was 7 o'clock before we got up. And I missed breakfast, brothers, and books. There is a line in the chapter of the book that we're reading by J.I. Packer, and he said, if I had to sum up the gospel in three words, it would be adoption through propitiation. Now, I think I explained to you a little bit of propitiation last week. Propitiation is this idea that Jesus was not only the sacrifice, but he is the one who made the sacrifice. And propitiation carries with it the idea that all the dirt, the debt of sin was wiped away by his blood. It was covered by his blood. But it also then resolved the anger that God had toward the sin. But I love the word that he started with. Adoption. Adoption. Because that in that there is an identity given. Adoption has been very close and very near to my heart for many years. And if I was not so stinking old, I would consider adopting even today. My wife can say, "You're crazy," and I am. I'll just let my son do it. But adoption became very near and dear to me when two of my nieces and nephews were adopted into our family. And if you said, "Which one of these do you love the most?" I couldn't tell you which one because I love them all. And when the little boy came into my son's life, he came into my heart. And I said to somebody, "Do you know how long it will take me to love an adopted child?" Because Christ gives identity. He has been adopted in. This morning, do you need to be adopted into God's family? Do you need to know who you are? To have a new purpose in life? To what length will you go? To what length will you go to find meaning for your life? Christ gives purpose. Jesus gives meaning. Jesus goes on to Galilee next, and he continues to pick up new disciples. To Philip, he simply says what he says to you: follow me. Be my disciple. Learn from me. And following Jesus does not mean at a distance. It means closely, intimately. It does not mean that I know a little bit about him like you might know a little bit about some celebrity or some person in town that you don't really know. No, it means to know him intimately. Christ gives purpose. He says, "Come be my disciple. Come and learn from me. Let me give your life purpose." Jesus said to them, and he says to us, "Let me teach you about life and how to live it. Let me teach you about yourself and how to deal with yourself. Let me teach you about others and how to deal with them and how to love them. Let me show you why you were created and what you were created to do. Follow me. Follow me. Learn from me. Learn from me why you were created." I helped a guy put together something one day. It had a lot of pieces. A lot of nuts, a lot of bolts. All I did was help him hold it all together as he put the bolts, nuts and bolts together to hold it together. And it went together just like the instructions said. We got it together right. When the guy got to the point of tightening the screws and the nuts and the bolts, all he had in the way of a tool was a knife, a table knife, a food knife. Well, let me tell you, that table knife didn't make much of a screwdriver. Because it was not the intent of the designer for it to be anything but a knife. It made a lousy screwdriver. Its purpose was to cut food or spread butter. And sometimes we live our lives feeling like that knife. I'm doing something that I wasn't really made to do. So what is it that you are about? What is it that you are doing with your life? When you know it was not what you were created to do, but you're not sure really why you were created. You were created to know and love God and love him forever. And until you come to the end of yourself and give your life to Christ to obey him, you never quite know the purpose of your life. And there are people that have lived long, long, long lives. And they've been celebrated in a lot of ways. They've had a lot of accomplishments. But I wonder how many of those people would really say, "I have lived a fulfilled life." Because until you know the purpose for which you were created, you never quite know who you are. Well, some try to fill the void with things. Accumulate. Or just at least keep score in some way. Some try to fill the void with pleasure. Do fun things. Do more fun things. Some take up causes. Save the earth. Save the neighbor. Some just seem to give up and deaden the pain. So which describes you this morning? Christ offers you meaning. He offers you purpose to touch something and someone greater and bigger than yourself. To what length will you go? To what length will you go to have a sense of specialness in your life? Christ provides this intimacy. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. When the first two disciples began following him, Jesus asked them a most important question. He said, "What do you want? What do you seek? What do you want?" You want to know, you want to be accepted by someone important. You know that much. Someone who matters. You want to be able to be real with this person, to just be who you are. And Christ provides this personal relationship. Philip goes and finds Nathanael, and Nathanael had been out in the backyard under a fig tree. And when Nathanael comes to Jesus, Jesus says to him, "I saw you under that fig tree, and I know your opinion of Nazareth." So Jesus commends his honesty. Then Jesus lets Nathanael know he knows all about him. "I saw you. I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. I see you. I notice you." It was years ago, but Andy Warhol had it right. "We'll all be famous for 15 minutes. Or so it seems. What is troubling to me is the unseemly lengths people are going to get their 15 minutes. All because we want to be noticed. All because we want to have that sense of specialness in our lives. The birth of reality TV shows are both the cause and the effect of people's search for their 15 minutes of fame. We'll be known. We'll matter. Let me say to you, you can be on every reality TV show ever made, and until you know Christ, your life won't matter. So how bad are you hurting because no one really seems to know you? What will you do to be noticed? I came across this from Focus on the Family. It says, "First things first. Welcome to the game of life. The game where you go to college, start a career, get married, have children, make plenty of money, and where none of it is deeply satisfying if you allow it to become your primary passion. The classic board game called Life never told us the truth. It said that whoever collects the most cash wins. Anyone with an ounce of faith can see through that, but most Christians are playing a similar kind of game. Their version goes something like this. You get a Christian education. You start a career, better yet, ministry that helps people. You build a great marriage on biblical principles. You become parents of fine Christian children who are good-looking and successful. You achieve financial security, give your tithe, and live long in healthy and comfortable retirement. So what's wrong with that? Nothing as far as it goes, but there are a couple of obstacles. First, life doesn't turn out that way for most of us. No matter how hard we try. And second, we're forgetting what Jesus called the greatest of all commandments. In fact, the entire Bible seems focused on something other than the serene existence we Christians are busily trying to create for ourselves. Nothing in this world, including a great family, is of ultimate significance. Our earthly existence and that of our children is first and foremost about one thing only, loving God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength. Find out what it means to make God the center of your affections and the source of your joy, because without Him, you'll never be much of a spouse, parent, or anything else. You'll just be playing the game. How many of us are playing the game this morning? To what length will you go to be noticed, to be known, to be significant in someone else's eyes? Christ this morning offers you everything that you want, everything that you need. Do you know Him?